You are listening to the strongest podcast in CrossFit. This is the Type 1 Lifting Podcast. Before we start the show, I would like to thank the sponsors that are helping this podcast grow. The first one is Liberté Lifestyle. They have the best knee sleeves in the game. These knee sleeves are absolutely no joke. They gave me a promo code too as well, Type 1, to get 10% off each item you buy. They also have women's clothes, men's clothes, wrist wraps, pretty much you name it, they have it. And the second one is Hero Barbell. This barbell is by far the best barbell that I've ever used in the game. It is also one of the fastest growing barbell companies in the functional fitness community, as well as other branches in the fitness space. So they also gave me a promo code too as well, and which is Type 1, which gives you 10% off of their barbells. I'm telling you, the spin on these barbells are insane. But these are the two sponsors I have, and I want to thank them so much for being a part of the show. And now, here we go. All right, guys, welcome to another episode of the Type 1 Lifting Podcast. I have a second time around guest, the meme lord, Roderick Lopez. Man, thank you for coming on.
Heck yeah, dude. I'm stoked to be here. It's weird. It's like it's still getting dark super early. So I've got my light here in the background, and it's only 5:30 over here, but already dark. I'm excited for it to be light outside again.
Yeah. So was it a couple days ago that it kind of switched over from like the darkest day? And I think now it's coming back around.
That's what I heard. I heard it was like, this is the shortest day of the year, and now the days will finally get longer again, which made me happy because it'd be 4 p.m. and it's like pitch black outside. You're like, man, I'm tired. Oh, it's six. I still need to do things in my life. I still need productivity in my life.
Yep. That was like when I was living up in Massachusetts, it was like around like 8 o'clock, it started getting a little bit lighter, but then 4 o'clock came around and just instantly dark. And so it's just like, I was working at the hospital. So it was like literally, you know, going in at dark and then coming out at dark. And it's just like, this is awful.
Yeah. You don't want to do anything.
Yeah. And it's like,
put your jammies on.
Yeah. You try to work out and it's just like, you just pitch black everywhere. And it's just like, you know, no bueno.
Yeah. Not the vibes that we're looking for. Yeah, I like exactly. The summertime vibes.
Yeah. So lots of things have changed for you since the last time we talked. So yeah. You sold your gym.
Sold the gym.
So, and I mean, you're blowing up on like Instagram, YouTube, especially on the shorts versions and stuff like that. And, you know, you're doing a lot of other things, but I kind of want to talk about you selling the gym. So okay. I did watch the video of you selling, the reason why you sold your gym, but for the people that didn't see that YouTube video, what was going through your mind, you know, throughout the whole process, and, you know, how did it, you know, the final ending be selling the gym?
Yeah. For the people who know the entire story, I'll keep it as short as possible. My intention was to never own a gym. I always wanted to work in a gym. That was always the goal. Work in a gym, do one-on-one training, also coach group classes because I absolutely love CrossFit, and was forced into owning my own gym. We can go into details if people really care, or DM me, whatever. I'll talk about whatever. And I got to my 3-year lease and I got an email from the landlord. They said, hey, are you going to renew your lease? And I had, again, because my passion was not in growing my own gym, it was exhausting paying the bills. I was essentially just hanging on to enough people to pay the bills at the gym. And I had hired an accountant about a year before deciding to sell the gym. And I had told him, I was like, you know, I don't think I want to do the gym thing anymore. And I went on like an Excel document, put every single expense. And I do this all the time. I love money. I love analytics. I love looking at numbers. And I did all of that, wrote everything down. And I was like, how much do I need to net profit in my life to survive, to pay my mortgage and to buy food and insurance, like the bare minimum essentials of my life? What do I need? And when I got that number, I thought to myself, man, I essentially gave myself another job, a full-time job owning the gym. I wasn't profiting very much. So the number I saw to net, I thought to myself, I can make this happen with the content that I'm creating. I know I can. So I gave my accountant a call. I gave him a heart attack. I was like, I'm closing my gym. I'm going to do all this stuff. What? And I called one of the people I was working with and I said, hey, look, I've been doing your content for a little bit. Is there any way that you'd be willing to pay me a little bit more money or pay me some money for the, you know, the people that I was just kind of trying out, creating content for them? Would you be willing to pay me? And I had a number in my head, but I didn't want to say anything because I wanted to see what they said. And they gave me a number, boom. And that first number already covered my bare minimum expenses. So I was like, okay, this is so... I can keep this gym and essentially use it as a way to, you know, write off more things. And, but I live, you know, quite a few miles away from the gym. It was just a commute. I give myself another job. So once I had the number and I actually called another one of the people that I was working with and I said, hey, I want to do content, blah, blah, blah. They gave me a number. So I went from this idea of like drowning in bills, being just so stressed out about where my rent's coming from, where my mortgage is coming from, to wow, if I close the gym, I will now net profit, you know, double the amount I was at the gym, mm-hmm. with less driving, less clients, less time, and more of just creating. So that's when I made this. I went to the gym the next day and I told everyone, I was like, hey, I'm not going to have the gym anymore. I'm not going to renew my lease. My original plan was to not continue doing any one-on-one coaching. And quite a few people were like, you better keep coaching me. I'll be very upset if you stop. So I said, you know what? I can give you guys a day, one day a week. I'll for sure do it, but I can't give more than that. And if none of those times work for you, I'm sorry, but that's the only times I'll be able to do this. Mm-hmm. And it's always crazy when you have your entire schedule open, you know, nothing works for anybody, but the second you close all your schedule and you only have these times available, they make it work. So everybody made it work. A few people, you know, weren't interested in continuing, which was fine with me. I wasn't going to do it anyway. So I still have quite a few of my athletes there. I pay to use a gym instead of having my own gym, which cut expenses quite a bit. And now we haven't looked back. And that was, I gave the keys back, I think, like the day before I got on the plane to the Rogue Invitational. No, the games. The day I was driving to San Diego, I stopped by the gym, gave the keys back, and got on the plane to go to the CrossFit Games.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
So it looked like you kept some of the equipment, but did you keep all of it or?
No, shout out to, I wish I knew the name of the gym. This guy DM'd me on Instagram when I mentioned, hey, I'm getting rid of some of the things, blah, blah, blah. And I had a pegboard that one of my friends named Dan made. And I didn't have a place for the pegboard. There was nowhere to put it up. I'm not putting it up in my house. And he said, hey, I'm interested in that pegboard. So I said, look, I'll give it to you for free, but you have to promise me that you put it up and use it because I've had it in my possession for 3.5 years and it hasn't been used. They said, totally cool. Then I got another DM and I said, hey, are you coming on this day to come pick up the pegboard? And they said, yeah, I'm also interested in the rig, this two barbells, this. And I was like, this is like fake. This can't be real because this is almost everything that I was really stressed out about selling. You know, the big items, nobody wants a 15 foot high rig that has four pieces to it in their backyard. And they said, yep, no problem. That's what I'm looking for. My gym is opening up like a personal training spot. Oh. So they drove down with a semi truck a few days later and bought 80% of the big things that were really stressing me out. And they didn't haggle on price. They gave me exactly what I wanted, which was I took just like 20% off of what I paid for everything. It's not like I had a gym that was running with hundreds of clients. It was 15 people who mm-hmm. used it for 2.5 years or 2 years because I didn't have all the equipment in there when I moved in. So that worked out really well. And then everything else that I wanted, I just put in my garage. So I wanted to keep two of everything. I only have one bike, one row, one ski, but I wanted two barbells, 35, 45 barbells. I wanted like all my dumbbells, things like that. So that if I have friends come over, we can still crank on some fitness, you know?
Yeah. You didn't want to keep everything just like the guy from Garage Gym Experiments. He has like everything known to man.
That's crazy. Yeah, his warehouse is insane. I would have kept it in if like, you know, the reverse hyper, I totally would have kept, but it just wouldn't fit. When we bought our house, we really wanted a 3-car garage that was on our list, but this house has everything else we wanted except the 3-car garage. So I had to settle for selling some stuff. And, you know, to be honest, I do really love CrossFit. And I was actually before I jumped on here, I think I'm going to re-sign up for an affiliate, just so I can be going to an affiliate again and enjoying the community aspect of everything, do the open there, et cetera.
Yeah. So since you were a prior gym owner, what are your thoughts about the price increase that CrossFit's doing for the affiliate fees?
Yeah. You know, I actually just listened to Coffee Pods and Wads. He put something on, like, I think it was a month ago or 2 months ago. And Greg from Diablo CrossFit was talking about how they haven't raised affiliates for, you know, a long time. And the resources available online are, you know, improving, increasing, et cetera. Which, you know, he was justifying for the increase in price. So to be honest, I only affiliated so that all my members could do the open stress-free. I love CrossFit, you know, so that's what the reason I had affiliated. If I had to pay the increase, I would have paid the increase. And I actually have something in the works that I don't know, I can't talk about just yet. But we're going to help out an affiliate owner here this year. That's the goal. Okay. So yeah, to be honest, I don't really know enough of the nitty gritty. I never looked into it to go like, is this price increase good or bad? I'm not the guy to give you the pros and cons of all of those things. I didn't affiliate to get any resources besides being like, I have a CrossFit gym. We can do the open. We can say we do CrossFit, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Once you handed the keys over to the landlord, you're like, Not my problem.
Now my goal is to just to give back to the community and do anything I can for CrossFit and the people in the community, you know, coaches, et cetera.
Yeah, definitely. So I can imagine, like, was there any time and point where like you're like, I can make a killer piece of content if I just rig up the rig in my backyard and just get my wife's opinion on it and like just like with the look on her face, like that would kill it.
Like,
look what I got.
I would have kept everything if I could. My HOA wouldn't have allowed if I would have had a two-story house and my backyard wasn't directly to like where the HOA can see, I would not care about having a 15-foot rig in my backyard. That'd be sick because I could do rope climbs, I could do muscle ups. So the original goal was to throw it up back there, but because you can see it over our house, then I would just. Yeah, HOA. HOAs are just not the greatest. So.
They are the worst. The worst. Yeah. It's like you like you're off like a tint on a color. You got to like spray paint it off and then do it over again. It's almost 100%. To the point you're like, I'd rather pay the fine than just deal with this like redoing everything.
Yes. There actually, I have a neighbor whose backyard is actually below there. Like, you know, here's the fence and like there's a huge hill and then below. And they have the exact rig that I had and my gym, and they have like turf in their backyard. They have like sleds, everything. But because the HOA can't see it from the street, it's okay. You know?
So yeah.
I would. Yeah. My wife would have been down to have a full rig in the backyard.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
She's very supportive of literally everything. I can't. She's supported me throughout everything. It's ridiculous. I don't even know how, why. I'm like, you know, I look back into the things that I did and, you know, it's like, I was coaching for like $1,000 a month and I moved to San Diego and we were just living with five roommates. And then, you know, all this stuff happened and she's never batted an eye or even questioned what I wanted to go do. So shout out to her big time.
That's love. That's absolute love. So
true.
Yeah. That's crazy. But is there a time, when, there, it was a little rocky at the gym before you left. And then like you and your wife, like earlier were like, okay, this might not work out. Like maybe we should just like, you know, cut off the lease early or whatnot.
Yeah. So it's kind of funny. This is interesting. My wife and I actually keep our finances separate. And this has kind of been like a cheat code in our relationship. I know some people might not agree with this, but for our whole relationship, we've always paid a percentage of our income towards everything we're doing, our mortgage, our bills. So, you know, if she made more money than me for a very long time and that we would pay, you know, it'd be the percentage of her income is the same thing I'd pay. We'd go on vacation, be percentage. I'm very, very grateful that now I'm able to pay more, you know, more of it because my income has increased. So really any decision she makes with her money, it's just like, whatever she wants to buy, like a cool knife or memorabilia or, you know, whatever she buys, Amazon packages come, it's on her. And then if I want to have a gym and do all that stuff, it's on me. So all the equipment, everything, it's just, yeah, the support's there. And we rarely have any arguments about finances because we come together for the things that we do together. And then what you want to buy is whatever you want. And what I want to buy is whatever I want.
Yeah. I have to break it up real quick, but Michigan just won. Yes. Yes. They won by a touchdown.
I know nothing about football. So congratulations to you.
I mean, I have to have one team that's actually winning because the Patriots are doing so bad. They're like 4-10. They're like the worst record in a very, very long time.
Yeah.
And finally, Michigan like just got over the hump and now he's in the national championship. Nice. And I scheduled the podcast on Monday and that's when they have the championship game.
Oh, you're kidding.
And I'm like, oh, God. And it starts at 7:30. So
I'm going to have to move that around.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But anyways, you said you cut the gym off and you started doing all this content creating. So when, you know, you said that, and like how many people did you reach out and you got a lot of, did you get a lot of no's or did you get a lot of yeses?
I just reached out to the people that have been supporting me since the beginning. Paper Shit Coffee, reached out to them. I reached out to my accountant too. I told him, I said, hey, like, is there anything that I can do for you networking wise, getting people to when we chatted initially, I was going to start doing a like regular CrossFit gym, have classes, et cetera. So that was the original goal. And then he had mentioned, he's like, I really want to get into the CrossFit space. I've already been an accountant for, you know, on Wall Street. I've been an accountant for these businesses. I've been a corporate accountant. I've done all of this stuff. I don't want to do that. It's not what I'm passionate about. I want to work with creators. I want to work with athletes. I want to work with CrossFit people in the community. So I was like his first trial person. Like, can we make this work? So when I told him, I said, well, what if when we go to these events, I just introduce you to more people and you get to know whoever it is. Now I can't speak on the accounts that he does work with, but he definitely has gotten into the CrossFit space. So if there's any creators, athletes out there, check out Jonathan, the accountant, the fittest accountant. He's on my Instagram. If you're interested, he's been a huge help. He's essentially like my one-on-one coach for finances. It's like, hey, here's my goal for finances. And then he just gives me a program to follow the same as you would for the gym. So that I don't remember the original question. Oh, okay. Reach out to my account, CBG Nutrition as well. They were already supporting me. They gave me the blueprints and I told them, I said, look, I can't promote your product if I don't know how it works and how, and the intricacies, et cetera. So he set me up on coaching. He gave me the blueprints. I did it for quite a few weeks. Now it's been a year or almost a year of me using the blueprints. So with confidence, I can tell people like, look, this is what you're going to get with this nutrition coaching. And then I do create memes for him as well. And then I work with my real estate agent. In fact, I don't know. Some of the people have joined the real estate page. So I wanted proof of concept for my actual like content creation. So at Paper Street Coffee, the goal is, you know, like marketing, and we have goals and things that we're setting. And I just find content from the people who are posting. It's sometimes I will create my own content for them, but most of the time it's finding it. Whereas CBG Nutrition, it's I create the content and I post it as a collab. My accountant, it's networking and helping him get his message across to the right audience. And then my real estate agent, I told him, I said, hey, look, I can create memes the same way I do with Meme for Time, where it's entertainment and CrossFit education and coaching and being an athlete and being in this CrossFit like ecosystem. I think we can do the same thing for real estate. I want to see if it works. Will it get views? And can I, with my little knowledge of real estate, can I create things that people find funny and what's the word I'm looking for? They not vibe with, like, it makes sense in the real estate world, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we started doing that a few, maybe 3 months ago, and he's paying me to create the content and stuff. So also fun fact, he will buy me a Tesla if that account gets to 10,000 followers. That was his like, hey, we'll pay you less than what you're worth, but if we get to 10K followers, I'll buy you a Tesla. So,
is that on Instagram or YouTube?
It's on Instagram. It's called Don't Buy Real Estate.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the most fun one in my, like, obviously I love making memes for Meme for Time and creating this content, but that's the most fun to see a completely different world, but seeing the proof of concept that creating engaging, entertaining content with a description that is educational, it does work and can work in, you know, any field that you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And like I said before, your pages have been absolutely killing it, especially on YouTube. Thanks. With the Thanks. Shorts and stuff. So when did you get involved? Yeah. When was the time like that you were like, okay, I need to get involved in shorts? And did you see almost like a TikTok kind of vibe to it?
You know, I just really like YouTube. I enjoy being on YouTube. I like going on YouTube. I don't go on TikTok. And as much as, you know, Gary Vee is like yelling into the screen to use TikTok, I just don't like TikTok. I don't use it. But I love YouTube. I use YouTube. I watch YouTube shorts. I get sucked in. So I had already had a YouTube channel. And the second they rolled out shorts, I was already posting shorts. And then, you know, you kind of get lazy and you're like, oh, I posted on Instagram and I don't want to post on YouTube. And then finally, one day I was like, okay, I have literally like 80 memes I've never posted on YouTube shorts. Let me backtrack, start posting these on YouTube shorts. And then I thought, why don't I post these real estate memes on his YouTube shorts as well? So the YouTube shorts, I mean, randomly they'll hit, you'll get, you know, like 5,000 views, which on Instagram is cool. And 5,000 views on Instagram really doesn't seem like that much, but on YouTube, it's like, well, that came with, you know, 10 subscribers, which for some reason, I don't know if everyone like is like this on YouTube, but a subscriber feels more hearty than a follower on Instagram. Agreed. It's like, oh my gosh, they click subscribe. So yeah, subscribers definitely goes up on YouTube. And in 2024, I'm going to be creating more YouTube content. We can get more into that if you're interested, but I'm now very curious, will the followers that I've gotten from shorts transfer over to viewership when I start posting long form content?
So for me, the way my YouTube channel works is we do podcasts like what we're doing now. And then what I'll do is I'll cut it up into like five different shorts, like podcast shorts, and then kind of go from there. And obviously, like, you know, you need to have the good title, you need to have the thumbnails and stuff like that. But I've noticed that a lot more people are kind of like leaning towards the shorts.
100%.
Because it's almost like TikTok, quick, easy. You don't have to sit down and watch. But you got some outliers like, you know, Sam Solik or like some other people that you can just press play and just kind of zone out, you know, and just kind of like listen on the side of like what they're doing. And like, great example, Savon. Savon does that too. He gets hundreds and hundreds of people on his live feed. And I'll pop on it once in a while and I'll just work at the same time.
Yeah, just listen, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, there's no need for you to watch the screen and anything like that. And I've noticed my podcast there, I'm getting a little bit more views, but it's just like, it's not as quick as it is in the shorts. Cause I have two shorts that hit over 1 million.
Holy crap.
Yeah. It wasn't even me. It was like somebody else in the video. And so, but then I'll do like, I'll have a couple other videos of me. I've hit like 25K, like in a couple of the ones just with me on it. And I'm right. my goal is to average 1K per video that I post. And if I have like, and it's weird because like I'll post at lunchtime at one point and it doesn't kick off. And then I'll post it back at like 3 o'clock. And I'll delete it and post it, repost it with a different title. It doesn't pop off. I'll wait till like, I'll delete it and then redo it at 6 o'clock. Same video for all three.
Oh, wow.
And the one at 6 o'clock just absolutely pops off for some reason.
Wow. Interesting.
So.
Yeah. I've never thought about deleting and reposting because I definitely have some shorts that did really well on Instagram. And then I posted it on YouTube and it's like 15 views. I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. Move on to the next one.
Yeah. I'll delete those and just repost them and stuff like that. And then, also if you go to the your view list, I don't know if you do this, but if you go to the shorts, you know, list and you press the edit button and then like you have like a whole, all these details that you could put in to your shorts. And so that will actually gain more traction for, you know, audiences because you'll have like keywords in the details, like links and all that stuff. And then you could do like YouTube, you have tags and stuff like, and all that jazz. And I mean, for me, when I didn't do that, the views would go down. But when I added all that stuff in, it would just shoot right up.
Wow.
Yeah. Interesting. And Last year I posted 365 shorts. Every single day.
Perfect. So
yeah,
consistency is king.
Yeah, and it's crazy. Like the 1 million views ones.
Uh-huh.
The kind of the subscribers kind of like almost went with the views. Like
right.
1.4, like it's like one episode, one video is like 1.4 million views. I'll have like 1400 subscribers or like 800 subscribers. And then the next one was like 1.2. And then I'll have like another 900 on that too as well.
Yeah.
And then I had another one. It was, I think it was a video from the Brazilian championship or a competition.
Uh-huh.
The lanes were like really close to one another. And I guess this guy did like, he was doing a bear complex. And so he put the barbell behind his back and then he was ready to jerk it. And the guy in behind him lost control of the barbell. And it kind of like went onto the weight went hit his head while he was like jerking up. And everyone was saying like, oh, we definitely did that on purpose, blah, blah, blah. And like, it was taking off like to the moon. It was like already at 700K. Killing it, like all these subscribers, and then all of a sudden like YouTube dinged it saying, hey, we think this is, you know, we think that this guy did this on purpose.
Yeah.
And then can you, like, you know, you could write a, you know, you could write a complaint about it and say like, hey, try to get the video back to not being like a 18 plus related. And I was like, hey, you know, the guy lost the balance of the bar, like, and so that's what happened. So I'm just showing what like can happen if you don't manage the barbell well. And they just still were like, nope, it's going to be an 18 plus strike.
Wow.
And immediately it wasn't like the return, like the reply email was immediately. Wow. I don't know if it was a bot or somebody else, but
yeah,
they were like, no, you can't have that on there. And I actually got a ding too as well. I got one warning. So, cause
that's the most frustrating.
It's crazy.
But that's the most frustrating part of social.
Yeah. But the thing was, like, I kind of agree. I don't agree with it, but it was this girl that was on a gymnastic, like a circus bar, like a swinging bar. And she flipped backwards and her pants got caught on the bar and their pants like just came right off. You could see her butt and everything like that. But like, she had underwear on, but they're like, no nudity, you can't do this.
Yeah.
It's like making fun. I'm like, okay. So I literally deleted it. And they're like, you have a warning to like March 18th or some shit like that.
On YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the most pressure. I've gotten striked on Instagram and then it's like 4 months. And then they tell you none of your videos can be shown to anybody besides your followers. And you're like, well, and that's another reason why I started posting more on YouTube as well. Obviously, YouTube, you can get copyright strikes or strikes like that as well. But yeah, gotta diversify slightly. So if one audience disappears one day.
Yeah. So obviously you're a bit more of a big fan of YouTube like I am, but is it almost at the point you just want to just focus on one platform instead of going to all these different other platforms and just posting the same thing?
Yeah, I just wanted to focus on Instagram pretty much throughout the year. And then I just started posting YouTube shorts because I was like, all right, the content is going to be the exact same for shorts. I might as well throw it up on YouTube as well because I do enjoy YouTube and I do want to start posting more long form videos on YouTube eventually. So that was the only reason. Yeah.
Yeah. But your gym, the closing of your gym video hit, I don't know where it was at now, but the time where I saw it, it was like at 10K.
No, it was, I think 4,000.
Oh, 4,000. I swear I thought it was like 10K at the time I was watching it.
No, I think 4,000. I have a few videos that I used to post long form every day. You know, mm-hmm. I used to do that every single day, especially like in 2021 and 2020, I'd post a video every single day. And again, I just recognize like, okay, where is my audience going to grow the fastest and what am I enjoying the most? And it ended up being Instagram in 2023.
Mm-hmm. So you were talking about doing more long form content for YouTube. So what is that entailing for you? Or like, what are your plans for that?
Yeah. When does this podcast come out?
2 weeks.
Oh, perfect. Okay. So then my first episode should be up. And I'll just talk about it since you guys will see what the idea is. So in the end of November, I went to the Wheel Wad and these adaptive athletes are absolutely incredible. I was extremely inspired and I came back just with the the most gratitude I've ever felt in my whole life. Just grateful for literally every possible thing in my life. And everybody at Wheelwad was extremely grateful too. More grateful with having less than most, or being in a worst situation, a worse situation, or facing more adversity than 90% of the population. Mm-hmm. And that was extremely inspiring. And what sucked about Wheelwad was there was quite a few athletes who weren't able to make it out because it's expensive and not a lot of these athletes have sponsors. It's hard to find volunteers for this event as well. And, you know, a lot of the people watching were, you know, family or, you know, close friends of the people competing rather than other people who are invested in the athletes at Wheelwad. So for example, I worked with Brett Palzer. I'm his coach. He's in seated two. And I could talk about this forever because it was just so, what an awesome experience.
But yeah, man, go for it.
I kept thinking to myself, like, how can I help? What can I do? What is something that I'm good at that I can bring to the table? Judging is not it. That wouldn't be something that would, I'm not a great judge. And you know, coaching, I absolutely love coaching, but coaching is typically, you know, a few people or one person. So I kept thinking, I'm like, okay, well, I made those memes with all these athletes at Wheelwad and I got the opportunity to talk to a lot of them and start understanding like, what the heck are you experiencing? What did you go through? And I feel like a lot of people have these questions, but don't get the opportunity to ask them or just assume. Before I started working with Brett, I had zero idea of what it was like for somebody in a wheelchair. I didn't know that there was different types of injuries that affect. I mean, I'm a kines major. I should know a little bit more about, you know, an adaptive athlete, but I had no idea.
Yeah.
So, you know, I see comments sometimes me and Brett would post a meme and they're like, this guy's a phony. He moved his leg. What a phony. And at first I'm thinking to myself, how does he move his leg? I have no idea. And then you start recognizing, okay, well, just because he can kind of move one of his legs doesn't mean he can walk and stand up and do these things because of where his injury was and how it affected him. In the seated two division, it's with hip function. So he has some hip function, and then some seated athletes have no hip function. And then you start getting more into the details of what these athletes go through. For example, you know, a lot of these athletes, they need to use a catheter just to go to the bathroom every single time. How annoying would that be? You know, and it's the simple thing, going number two is not even something I'll get into in this situation, but it's something that we just take for granted. Every time we go, we just go, boom, done, later. And, you know, they go through a whole lot more. And then you start talking to, you know, these athletes that have one leg or some sort of a lower body issue. And it's, you know, waking up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom. It's funny because one of them mentioned the most frustrating thing about going to the bathroom at night is if I don't want to put my leg on, I have to hop to the bathroom and I wake myself up. I never thought about that. Yeah. So I started thinking like, man, this is crazy. Their stories are freaking incredible and mm-hmm. they're interesting. And if I had the opportunity to ask them the questions that I was asking while I was at Wheelwad, so many more people I feel like would be invested in their athletic endeavors, their journey. And it would make the, you know, athletes more marketable themselves as well, because people would be invested in their story. And I have nothing, obviously I have nothing against CrossFit Games athletes, but the adversity that, a typical CrossFit Games athlete, they didn't have to relearn how to do their whole life because they became paralyzed one day, or because they, you know, lost a limb or feeling, or, you know, they live with, MS. One of the dudes that I was talking to there, he's like, yeah, I woke up one day and I couldn't, he said, so the whole story was I woke up and my leg felt kind of heavy. It was super weird. Next day, I had to really think about moving my leg. Weird. Next day, I couldn't walk and my arm didn't work. And I had to call the hospital and go to the hospital. And then I realized that I have MS and I have no history of it, no family history, no nothing. Just woke up one day, boom, and now I have MS. And I told him again, I told everybody when I was there, I was like, look, I don't want to offend you in any way, but can I ask questions candidly? I just want to ask what comes to mind. Mm-hmm. And everybody I chatted with was totally down. So this guy, I was like, hey man, what division are you in? And he's like, neuro. And I don't remember if it was neuro, moderate. I don't remember the moderate, major. There's another one, minor. I don't remember which one what he was in. And I was like, okay, you're in the neuro division. Why? You look just like me. It doesn't look like you have any issues exercising. Can you give me more details on, like, you know, what brings you into this division? And he said, well, a lot of times after I work out, I can't control my body. It might feel like I'm on fire. Things happen. Like I have like convulsions, whatever. And I said, oh, I think I did see you getting, you know, iced down after that event. Can I record you the next time I see that happening? And he said, yeah, for sure. And it's crazy. You know, he finishes this event and he says it typically happens when he goes really, really hard. He's got to get dragged off the floor. He's, you know, shaking like crazy and he can't control himself. The entire medical staff is putting ice bags on him. But everybody at a regular CrossFit event would be like, oh my God, what's going on? Call the ambulance. Everybody here is like, yep.
Yeah, he's good. He's good. Just,
yeah,
just
looks normal. And I have the video on my phone. I'm afraid to post it because I'm going to get tagged for something on Instagram. But if people would see the behind the scenes, the stuff that is going on, the reason these people are in these, you know, divisions, it would help one bring more, you know, more eyes to the athletes, but also more light to people who are experiencing the same, you know, disability. Oh, I can do these things. I can go out and do this. I can do that. And, you know, the question that I liked hearing the answer to most was, I was asking them, if you could go talk to your, you know, yourself after you got this diagnosis, or, you know, in Brett's case, you know, I'm pretty sure his injury happened when he was 20 years old. What would you say to the person who was wheeling out of the hospital right after the injury? What would you tell them now? And a lot of them, the answer was like, you know, it's going to be a tough journey, right? But there's so much stuff that you can do, more than you can even comprehend in your head right now. And while we were at Wheel Wild, there was also this little boy there, you know, in a wheelchair. He just got his leg amputated. And it was very cool to see all these other, you know, wheel athletes going to talk to this kid and mm-hmm. being like, yo, man, it's going to be good. We know you don't have your leg anymore. Yeah. But like there's still so much to do. So, you know, Equip Products helps these events quite a bit. There is a fund that I can't remember the name of the fund, but all of this just to say 2023 in my head was the only thing I thought about was growing. It was very selfish, which is okay. I need to grow to have a platform to be able to have a voice or of any kind. So my goal for 2024 is giving. How much can I give? What can I do? And how can I use the platform that I have to do something that's fun and exciting, but and still help. So because the video should be out, I'm going to do a like behind the scenes, raw, not a ton of edits of day in the life of some of these adaptive athletes. So people can see the things that they go through, the things that they experience, what life looks like with that disability. Mm-hmm. Just like kind of like old school Savant videos of like, he shows up to Rich Froning's house, opens the garage, and it's like, what's up? What are you doing? This is the workout I'm doing. This is what I'm about to eat. And just chilling, you know, and you get to be in that person's home and get to know them. And then here's my favorite part. We're then going to take the adaptive athlete to a CrossFit Games or CrossFit semifinals athlete and have that CrossFit Games or semifinal athlete try to do an event or workouts or pieces of a workout as if they were the adaptive athlete. And then, you know, talk to the camera and tell them their experience. So people can really understand how freaking hard it is to do a lot of these movements and, or, you know, any of these things that they do with the disability. One example is Victor. He's got one arm. He does one arm rope climbs. How freaking awesome is it going to be to watch a CrossFit Games athlete try to complete a workout with one arm rope climbs? They may be able to do it, right? They may be strong enough and have a strong enough grip, but it's not something they have to always do in every workout they do. So I think, and I hope people will be invested in their stories and want to learn more about them. And we're going to raise money for that fund through my real estate agent. He's already told me, he said, every sale we get the entire year, we're going to donate a percentage to, I should just look up the fund real quick, to be honest. The fund, and the fund is going to, yeah.
So the guy that you interviewed, was that Brett Horchar? Is it Horchar?
Are you talking about Brett with MS?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. That's Brett. But then I'm also talking about Brett Paulzer, who's a seated athlete.
Oh, okay. Okay. So I actually interviewed Brett MS with, on my podcast, and he actually said the amount of hate that he gets, that people like just talk shit about him, like saying like, oh, you don't have this disease, you're perfectly fine, is like so much. He gets like a lot in the comments or like DMs and stuff like that. It's insane the amount of hate that this guy gets for a disease that like no one else really sees except for him and like everyone else.
Right. What's crazy too is I talked to another lady with MS, and she mentioned that they have to do essentially chemotherapy drugs every 6 months to hold the progression of MS, which again, I know nothing about any of these athletes, which was interesting to go to this competition and really learn. And again, everyone was very open and, you know, just talking about their experiences and what they go through. The fund is called Team Sum Assembly Required. So that's the idea for 2024. I want to try to do at least one of them a month, mm-hmm. meet up with one of the adaptive athletes and do that. I have two lined up so far. Hopefully the first one does good. And these will be long form videos on YouTube. And, you know, in the description, they'll be, you know, telling people exactly what, how to support, what you can do. And then obviously I'm going to try to convince, you know, Paper Street Coffee, Podium, everybody that I can think of to go to the event. Podium was actually there this year, which was cool.
Awesome.
And just, if we can just get, you know, more, the bigger the brands we can get as well from CrossFit to the event, the more likely I feel like people will show up. Even if it's like, okay, well, I want to go try on these clothes. Well, I'm here. I might as well watch some of the events. My wheels are just turning on. How can we get more people here to support these athletes? And then I was talking to some of the blind athletes, and I told them, I said, how the heck are you guys not sponsored by sunglass company? You are literally wearing sunglasses 24/7. It doesn't make any sense that a sunglasses company would not hit you up to sponsor you to wear sunglasses. You'd be wearing them all day long, you know?
Yeah.
That's the goal, 2024.
Yeah. You got to hit up Goodr or like Blenders or something like that to get those guys to sponsor some of those people.
I'm hoping once we get the ball rolling, people will see it and be interested in donating. I mean, because this fund, it's a, you know, 501c or whatever they call that. Mm-hmm. They can get a tax write-off. And I know some of these companies need the tax write-off. So why not, you know, kill two birds with one stone? Get a tax write-off, also help these athletes get to these events. The more athletes we can get to these events, the bigger each division is. And let's be honest, nobody wants to go to a competition and you're the only person in your division, or you're the only of one of two. You want to compete. You're there because you enjoy competing. You want every single person in that division around the world who made it to the competition to have the ability to show up. So
yeah, definitely.
Give them the ability.
And the awesome thing is like you said before, people with these disabilities love to talk about it. Cause like including me, I'm a type 1 diabetic, but like I'm not like living the way that these people are, but, and, you know, there's a lot of people that need to get educated on, you know, diabetes, you know, MS, or, you know, being in a wheelchair, or like losing a leg. And, you know, since you're doing that's awesome to at least get some of them exposure to show people like what it's really like to be with these situations.
Yeah. You know, like one random example too is Brett had to change all of his door frames in his entire house. So he had to spend like tens of thousands of dollars when he moved in so his wheelchair could fit through it. I don't think about these things, you know. Yeah. I don't even have to think about these. I don't have to think twice. I get an Airbnb and I don't think twice. He can't get an Airbnb. He's got to go to a hotel that, you know, ADA accessible, or his wheelchair can't fit.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy.
My mind was blown. So I hope people like the stories. I hope I can do that justice and hopefully you can raise some money.
Mm-hmm. So I have a funny story. So when I was a trainer, I had a 18-year-old girl that had MS. And so she was kind of like weak on one side of her body. So we would do certain workouts and it would like be like a lot of stationary machines because her knees would come in and like walk like that, like, you know, walk with her knees in, and like she wasn't really that coordinated sometimes because she'd be in a wheelchair majority of the time. And so there was one time she killed it on a couple of these machines, and like I never let her have a wheelchair while we were training. Like never, like she, I'm like, you're walking everywhere. So don't worry about it.
Yeah.
And I'm here too. So I think we were doing bench pressing or something like that. And then she's like, I'm like, you actually killed it today. And she's like, yeah, I made this machine my bitch. And then she got up, turned around, and one of the legs that was sticking out tripped her, and she fell right on the floor. And she's like, she's like, well, I guess this machine, I'm still the machine's bitch. And I was just yeah.
That's awesome.
And then there was another time, she was applying for a movie theater position. Okay. And so she's like, they have to lift about 30 pounds to get to some certain areas. And I was like, okay. So what we were doing is I was pretending I was the manager, and she was holding a med ball, and she would walk from like one side of the room to the other. And I'm like, oh, hey, Katie, do you mind? I'm a little busy right now. Can you pick up this med ball and pick up this trash bag and bring it over to the trash can? And she knew it was getting a little hard for herself. And so she's like, you know, Tom, I don't think I can. I'm really busy myself too. And I'm like, well, so I'm like, no, you're picking it up and going forward. So I got her the 30-pound ball after we did a couple of pats on it. And she picked the 30-pound ball up, and all the weight in front of her she fell right down on the ground. Boom. And I was just like, okay, I think we're done. And she's like, yeah, that's a good choice.
Yeah. Yep.
But it's crazy, like the amount of stuff they have to go through, and especially with her too. She, like, even when she was looking at colleges, she's like, okay, how am I going to get my wheelchair around? Or like, where, you know, are there a lot of hills? Are there, you know, certain places, you know, I have to, you know, not be around? And like, are there dorm rooms that are on the first floor that I can go to? Is there an elevator if I have to go to the top floor? You know, all this stuff. It's crazy.
Yeah. They had the best sense of humor of anybody, any group of people I've been around as well.
Oh yeah. So, yeah. Well, her parents just gave, like, they get away with murder. So like, she'll be at a store and there's like a long line. And so what they'll do is they'll stay in the line and saying, and like, then the mom would be like, oh, I forgot something. Let me go get, and she would still shop more, because she knew she had to, but her daughter was in the line. She's like, oh, my daughter has MS. Can we like just stay in this line? And I just need to go something real quick to come back.
Yeah.
And like, she would like be out for like another 5 minutes shopping and then come back in. And then like, she'd still have her like place
still in have line. Her spot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
The parents were like, whatever. So they kind of went with it too.
Yeah. Brett is, he always says, he's like, I'm in a wheelchair so I can park in the front always.
So I did see a lot of the memes that you did at Wheelwad, and
yeah,
they were absolute gold, especially one with you spotting your client, and then the owner of the Wheelwad was like beating him.
Oh yeah,
and then Kevin Ogar, I think.
Kevin Ogar.
Yeah. So he was like beating him, and so you're looking, you're watching him, and then he turns around and goes down the lane, and you fucking bull rush him and just slam him down the ground.
The best part about that meme was, so I told Kevin's been telling me since we met, I want you to push me out of my chair. And I'm like, dude, we can't just do this anywhere. People are going to be very concerned if they see me push you out of your chair wherever we are.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Now that we're real wild, I said, hey, this is the best audience for this. They might not be as concerned with your well-being because they don't like you very much for programming the workouts. So so he said, I'm super down, let's do it, what do we do? So I planned it. Then we had Brett and Kevin, you know, doing the wall balls, and I needed the person, Kevin's wife, to yell and scream like, go. So the second we did that, an event had just ended, and everybody was kind of like looking at the lanes like, what are these people doing? And then they saw us like setting up the mats, and then they saw me practicing tackling Kevin. And then everybody got real interested on what the heck is going on up there. So when we started cheering, everybody in the audience ended up starting cheering too, just to kind of, you know, get the vibes going. And then the MC was, you know, oh, this is, you know, a meme. This is a meme for time. He's going to be making this, blah, blah, blah. And then I just absolutely wrecked Kevin, and everybody is cheering and laughing and thinking it's hilarious. And then we did it again because the first video that we got wasn't super clear.
Oh.
So we did it twice. And then after walking around, everyone was like, man, you don't know how bad I want to tackle Kevin. So everybody was just envious of that I got to just absolutely mash Kevin. Mm-hmm. So he enjoyed it. Everyone else enjoyed it. And it was, I thought that was like such a funny meme.
Yeah. So which one out of all the memes you did, which one was that like your best one, or was it like another one that was like a close second?
I think the stealing legs was number one.
I like
I
that one. That was a
stole
good one. Yeah.
some legs, and the educational portion was, showing people like how much these legs are and how typically the insurance doesn't pay for it. They need to get grants, and the grants can take time. And so, essentially you're going to be in the hole for 50 plus grand if you want a leg. And it's not like one leg's good for everything. You need a leg to do other things fitness wise. It's like it's just one another thing that people don't typically recognize. And putting your leg on for everybody isn't just like boom boom it, on off. Some people have to like rub alcohol on their leg, and they have to like suction cup their leg, and they got to do this, and they got to pull this up, and then it gets sore, and then there's it's you got a cut in there, and then it's like oh my gosh,
Yeah.
so
It's
much work, dude, just to stand up.
crazy. And that other one you did, the Tom Miat with Tom Miazga,
Oh yeah.
that was
Yeah,
hilarious too.
he's such a good dude. He's so nice. And it's funny because Brett is in the same division as him. And it's you want to be mad at him for beating you, but he's too nice that you can't be mad whatsoever. And he was super down for the meme too. And so he's got cerebral palsy. So he says he walks around his house, but his, when he stands up, his legs are like, nope. So he said that when he did some sort of test, it was essentially like one of his steps is the same energy as 9 to 11 of our steps. So
Damn.
the energy it takes him to do one step. So he says he's in his wheelchair, like when he's out and about, and then when he's at home, he's usually not. So that's another situation where people might see him in a wheelchair and then they see him stand up and they're like, oh, he's a phony. No, it's just not how it works. It's you can't go through your whole day. Walk barely, like he wouldn't be able to hold anything like a glass of water, it would just spill all over the place because of his,
Yeah. So
so
I'm
making
Yeah, so Katie, the client that I had, so I forgot she didn't have MS, she had cerebral palsy, so that's
okay.
how I totally forgot about it. Anyway, but yeah, it's Tom was telling me of his central nervous system would be fried, like he did a back squat at one point.
Yeah,
I think he
300
did.
pounds.
Yeah, that was it. And so I guess his central nervous system was like so fried that was like almost his workout for like the whole day,
Yeah,
just getting to that.
he was also mentioning that like one of his legs is shifted slightly, so squatting and things could have like some detrimental effects to his back. And then if you watch Wheelwad, they posted it online, you can see the harder he's going, like his legs are going crazy. He's like standing in there, and then you see Brett and Brett's legs when his legs don't shake, but his legs start shooting up and like going all over the place. He's benching, his legs are extending and turning. And so, yeah, it's
Yeah.
crazy.
So with your client, so
Yeah.
how much did they have to pay just to even get there and, get a hotel room, especially a specific one for them is, and
Yeah,
like, and even
man.
with the prize money, I don't think that the prize money is even nowhere near
Yeah,
the,
no.
the amount of that they pay to get there.
So I don't actually know how much Wheelwad had cost, but he told me that Wadapalooza, everything included, almost cost him about 5 grand. So, and it's not
Jeez.
like the prize money is not 5 grand, even if you win. So it's like they do it because they love it. So hopefully we can create more opportunities so that they can do it, love it, and also not have to spend all their money to get there.
Yep. So I know you were talking about earlier, you've been to Rogue, you've been to the games. Actually, you went to the games, you've been to Wheel Wad. I think you were in Wadapalooza last year. So
Yep.
you've been to a lot of, festivals, or competitions throughout the year. What has been your favorite one, and what could make it better for
Oh man,
people?
that's a good question. They all have different vibes, and there was parts of each that are really fun. Wadapalooza was last so 2023, a year ago, Wadapalooza was kind of the first time I had like a group of people that I was hanging out with instead of just me and Dominic in a hotel room by ourselves. It was cool to have friends. It was nice to have friends. And everybody at Wodapalooza is pretty chill. Nobody is super serious. You know, the season's kind of just starting. Nothing's really going on. And it's very laid back and chill. So that was probably the most laid back and the most fun I had overall. Then we went to semifinals. Semifinals was cool too, but again, that's more serious. People are really stressed out and athletes are really stressed out and brands are stressed out because they just paid a bunch of money to have a booth here. And so it's nice to see your friends, but those are definitely more challenging to create content at and get people out of their shell. Rogue was pretty fun, but it seemed more low key than Wodapalooza. Wodapalooza seemed bigger. There's more athletes. I get it. But Rogue it was a good place to create content. Again, people aren't super stressed out and they're totally down to just do whatever. And then Wheelwad was like way fun in a different way where everybody just has a really good sense of humor. Everybody jokes around. And because there wasn't so many people there, it's just, you kind of just get to know everybody and have really good conversations where you might not get to have those conversations other places. What would make them better, man? I'm not a huge critic. I'm not good at that. I'm not that guy who's going like, let's change these things or let's do this. I'm not good at doing that is all, I'm not so critical of knowing how to do that. I mean, Hiller could help us. He could for sure tell us exactly what make it better while he's there. But he's really good at that. Like, that's what he's freaking really good at. I am just living in fairyland and I'm like, this is a great event. Same one, like I'll watch a movie and I'm like, well, I invested 2 hours, so it's pretty good.
But, yeah. So, I don't know. So how about we do this? Out of all the competitions that you can go that you've been to, what is that like? And you could only go to one event for the rest of your life. What would it be?
Yeah, the games, because there's the most people there, the most opportunity, the most the most people to create with. Wodapalooza was really fun, and then if we can pump up Wheelwad will be the most fun.
Yeah,
if we can get more people to Wheelwad and we can like really pump it up and have. If you know, all of the big names could show up to Wheelwad and do behind the scenes and do interviews with these athletes and hype these athletes up, they have the best sense of humor. The craziest stuff happens. It's not people just passing out. There's like people shaking over there and this person, has one leg and they took their leg off and they're doing one arm rope. It's just,
It's crazy. Yeah. Do you think that with people not really following too much of the disabilities and stuff like that, do you think that they just don't quite understand of like, okay, which one's a seated one, which one's a seated two, or which like
yeah, there's nobody's really putting it out there that I know of. Again, we fell in love with Rich Froning and Josh Bridges and all that because Savon made those behind the scenes video and you felt like you knew him. Dan Bailey and Rich Froning were hanging out at home and you felt like you knew Rich Froning and Hillary and like everything they were doing and Jason Kalipa and Nico Salo, because there was a camera with them and it made you feel close to them. So when you were interested in what the heck they were doing, what is Camille doing at home? You remember those videos? It's like Dave Lipson and Camille at home pushing a sled and she's mad because he's yelling and all this stuff. So it's just teaching people about the people. It's regardless of the disability, just these people, if they could be more known, I think people would be more interested in seeing what they do.
All right. So, are you going to Wodapalooza this year? Yep. So what's the game plan for you going?
Yeah. Game plan, help Paper Street Coffee as much as I possibly can. I will be giving something. Oh, this is going to be after Wodapalooza I'm going to be giving out some like patches, some cool patches instead of stickers this time to, I'll go up to people and be like, hey, do you follow me in Pertime? If they follow me and they're on my broadcast channel, they get a patch. And I'm going to find somebody who just is a good, just a cool people. And we're going to go do like a shopping spree or something somewhere.
All right.
Just try to get back to people and help out the people that have helped me.
Yeah. So are you still staying with Travis and the rest, Gabe and the rest of the guys in the same house this year?
Yeah. Yeah. The homies.
Yeah, nice.
Those guys are my homies. Those guys have, like, before I was doing anything, they were already supporting me.
Very cool, very cool. And I did see the Savant episode where Gabe showed his actual physical store, yep. And actually a picture of you is in it.
Heck yeah.
So
yeah, that's from the CrossFit Games.
Yeah. Did you see it at all, or did you see the picture?
I did see the picture. I did. He was asking. So we have it's everybody who works for Paper Street. There's like a few of us. It's me, my sister, Paulina, Gabe. and he had asked, like, hey, is there any pictures from the games? And my sister posted that one that you guys saw in the shop. And he's like, oh, this one's perfect. It's going up. So
nice.
That's pretty cool. Gabe has, yeah. I can't speak more good thing, man. I've said so many times this, you have to cut up all of them out.
It's okay.
Gabe has helped me not only give me confidence to keep creating content, but he's just overall an incredible dude. And I want to, every part of my being just wants Paper Street Coffee to just keep growing and getting better just because of how good of a dude Gabe is. I mean, obviously the coffee is incredible too. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so.
Yeah.
Shout out to Gabe, Paper Street Coffee. I can't say enough good things.
Yeah. So it's almost like you want to give more effort than you're paying. It's almost like getting an affiliate fee or something like that. Like, say, hey, you know, buy this product. You want to be like more valuable than that promo code that they're, you know, giving you for a percentage.
Yeah. I want them to win. So this is the part. It's really hard to find people who want you to win as much as you want to win. And these are the hardest people to find. And it's been really a huge challenge throughout my 20s. It's like, I thought I had people around me who wanted to see me win. And when you start winning, you really find out that a lot of people don't want you to win. They don't want you to do better than them, because you start doing better than them and all of a sudden they start acting weird or whatever. And the group of people that I've started associated myself with throughout the last few years, I'll win and they want to see me win. They are so excited to see me win. And nothing makes you want them to win as much as when they're stoked for you to win. I hope that makes sense.
No, I got you. Yeah, so definitely.
The group of people that I'm with, I could call them and something good could happen to me and they are genuinely excited. I could call them and something bad happened to me and they're genuinely concerned, and vice versa. These people will call me and it's like, I will do anything you need me to do because I want to see you win. Because you deserve to win, because you want everybody else to win. You're not the person who goes, you know, F that person for doing that. No, just win. I don't care what that means. You do you. Let's help you get there. But there's a caveat, right? You have to work hard and you can't be somebody who's lazy. And that's Paper Street Coffee encompasses all of those values. Hardworking, not the norm. And just, yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. I mean,
it's been a crazy year.
I've interviewed Gabe too, and he's super nice, super, super nice dude. And he's always wants to grow, and he's, you know, very personal. And like, he actually told me that, I think after the podcast I did with him, he's like, I don't even know if I really want to do another one. Cause I think I've got all the information I can possibly get out of the first podcast I did. And then mine. And so, and then like, I could easily call him up if I have a question or like, you know, stuff like that. And he's quick to respond. So quick to respond too, which is awesome.
Yep.
Paper Street Coffee. And that's that play in like, even like helping Savant out, I think that was like a huge help for him.
Absolutely. He's a huge advocate for Paper Street Coffee. He's helped Gabe personally. It's sick. It's cool. Just win. Everybody wants, just help your friends win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I kind of want to go back to the YouTube stuff that you were talking about, because I know you're really liking it. So what are you planning to do, like one video a week, or like what's the kind of metrics that you're running to hit for, you know, 2024?
Yeah, I try not to take on too many things and drop all of them. I did that a lot when I started, you know, when I opened the gym, I started a supplement company. I did too many things and I just juggled too many things and they all fell. Mm-hmm. So I only focus is a one video a month with an adaptive athlete with the day in the life, and then potentially cutting that up to make, you know, snippets of that or shorts or whatever it might be. And if there is other ideas that I get that can help that community, that's what I want to do. So
Yeah.
I'm also the type of guy, however, who if I get inspired and I just have an idea, I don't wait typically to do it. I'm going to try it, see how it goes. And then if it goes well, I'll just keep doing it.
Yeah. I may have a sponsor for the Wheel Wad.
Nice. I like it.
Hero Barbell. I could, yeah. If you want, I can give you their information to kind of see if they have any interest. Cause I know they sponsor the Master Fitness Collective. So okay. For like the old folks, like me. And so maybe if they get involved with Wheel Wad, you know,
for sure.
Their bar. I've touched their barbells before I even got like, you know, got sponsored with them. I'm telling you, like the spin on these things are insane. And the grip is like really good. And you know, it's, I love them. Like they're better than the Rogue bars that I've touched.
Yeah.
No, the high end one. So it's, right. Yeah, it's crazy. But yeah, I mean, if they can, I mean, they want to make a market in the fitness space. So, and they're growing pretty fast. And so if they can get those guys a Wheel Wad, maybe.
For sure. I want to create the first video and I don't want to pigeonhole myself into like, these are the three people sponsoring this. What I want to do is open it up to, hey, here is
anybody. Yeah.
Here is the fund. I am not going to take you on as a sponsor. I don't want the money. If you want to do something, you do it for that association or Wheel Wad or Equip Products. Like I said, the 2024 is giving. So my goal is to not take, right? So don't give me money, give them money and mm-hmm. Let's see what happens.
Yeah. So are you looking to do 12 episodes a year or?
The goal is one a month. Yeah. We'll see how long it goes. We'll see what happens. I mean, if people absolutely love this and I can spend more time doing it, then I will definitely open myself up to doing it more. If I do, you know, the first, you know, six episodes and it's not helping, then I need a pivot to figure something else that will help more. How do we get more people? How do we get better, more eyes on it? So if it's not working on YouTube and I have to pivot to doing something on Instagram or something, I will, mm-hmm. But I'm really hoping people enjoy these videos. I hope I can get my vision to look how I want it to on YouTube. That's been the biggest challenge is you have a vision for a video and then make that happen how you want it.
Mm-hmm. And like, you can't really have a script too, because stuff doesn't happen always the right way that you like, you know, the right way that you want.
Yeah.
So especially with those athletes too, because you could have something happen to them or, you know, a part of their, you know, their wheelchair breaks or like something with their leg breaks and whatnot. And, you know, yeah. But I mean, more dramatics, more views.
Hopefully no dramatics.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Any money out of their pocket, but no, I get what you're saying for sure. We'll see. I'm very excited for this first one. This first one I'll be filming on Friday. So today's Monday, a few days. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
I'm crossing my fingers.
So are you looking for just people in the California area or are you looking for like even, are you looking to venture out even like to like the West Coast or I mean, the East Coast or Midwest or whatever?
I'll go wherever. I'll do whatever as long as it lines up and I can make it work.
Okay. All right. All right. How's the sauna you got in your house?
I finally get the electricians out here tomorrow. I just had to wait, you know, like New Year's and Christmas and stuff. They're all busy, booked up, whatever. And then the sauna, it requires like 240 volt and 30 amp or whatever. So you can't just plug it into the wall. And I'm so excited because I canceled my gym membership because they had the only reason I went there was for a sauna and their sauna broke. And I went in a few times and it's still broken. I'm like, yeah, I don't need this membership anymore anyway. But I've been without a sauna for like a month and I just really love it. So I'm very excited to get it in tomorrow.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night at this time, I should be in the sauna.
Nice. Yeah. I used to go into the sauna too. And I loved it. And so then I moved and there's like a global gym that has it. And I'm not there. I'm at a 24 hour, like powerlifting gym now. Right. And so they have like, it's like bare bones. And so they don't have a sauna. They don't like, you know, and it's, right. It sucks, but you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, for sure. I love the sauna, man. Ugh, I cannot wait. And I can lay down in this one.
Ooh.
The gym I would go to is, I'm going to make a meme probably tomorrow if everything works out well of my experience at that sauna. There'd be people talking on the phone, yelling. There'd there would always be that dude, you know, who wanted people to hear him talk about his money. You know, I'd be like, oh, yeah, bro, if we just did like 10K, we did that, blah, blah, blah. And then you'd have, you know, the old guy who sits in there for 2 hours, butt naked. just like the person who's just in there, like spitting, sweating, not wiping their stuff. People, it's like, don't pour anything on the rocks. And they're just pouring stuff on the rock. It, oh my God. It's just, I didn't want to be in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever, this guy that I follow, his name's, I think it's Eric Heinrich or something like that.
Eric Hinman.
Yeah. Hinman. That's it. I'm sorry.
Great guy.
He's all about the sauna, and he has this like huge sailor hat that he puts like snow inside of it and just like kind of sits on top of his head.
He's a great dude. We made a meme 2 years ago at the CrossFit Games of trying to keep up with Eric Hinman, because that guy is, he's like a volume junkie.
Yeah.
He just can do all of the things. So yes, he's the one who inspired me to get the sauna in the backyard. One day we'll get the automatic cold plunge thing going, because I have an ice barrel. I just don't, buying ice every day, I would literally be poor in a few, like 2 months. It's expensive. So once we'll get that hooked up, I want the backyard to be my oasis, my recovery oasis.
Yeah. So like to Eric Hinman. Like palm trees and like flamingos and stuff like that.
100%. I mean, I live in SoCal. Let's throw some palm trees up. Let's do some twinkle lights on the palm trees. We'll have the sauna back there. It's going to be awesome.
That's awesome. So we're getting close to the end. So I kind of want to go over the rapid fire questions. It's not rapid fire, so you can take as long as you want, pretty much. So I know you kind of talked about this in the beginning. So what are your goals, since it's the new year, and happy new year, by the way.
Thank you too.
So what are your goals for 2024? Like personal wise. And I know you said this is like a year of giving. So what are the other goals that you have in mind?
Yeah. That's it. That's my only goal is, you know, have you heard that the Dwight Schrute quote? He's like the Dwight Schrute quote when he goes, he's like, what the heck does he say? When I think about doing something, I think, would an idiot do that? And if the answer is yes, I don't do that thing. instead insert like giving. So this year was growing. When I think about doing something, is it going to help me grow? If the answer is yes, I'll do that thing. So this year it's the year of giving. If I think about something and it will help to give more, I will do that thing. So that's literally the only goal. I will still be posting a meme a day, and that's it. So I've always had a number in my head of how much money I'd like to make a month. And we're very close to that number. And once we go over that number, I asked my accountant, I said, would it be dumb to give once I hit this number, just give the rest to doing stuff that I like to do for other people or whatever. He's like, no, it's fine. We can do that. So getting my real estate agent within this to give back to Wheel Wad and do that, that's the only goal. Can we make it happen? We'll see.
All right. What do you have a favorite book that you like to read lately?
I haven't been doing a ton of reading. I listen to Elon Musk's newest book. That's pretty insane. Yeah, I can't think of a book on the top of my head. I mean, there's books that I've read that have definitely helped me be the person I am. The top ones people always say is like How to Win Friends and Influence People. Incredible book for relationships. Mm-hmm. The War of Art is something that I've taken quite a bit of inspiration from this year. Those are the two. People who are struggling with things, if you've never read the book called Resilience, I really like that book too. I read that one quite a long time ago.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. I read this one. It's called, oh my gosh, I'm literally just read it. It was like heroes on YouTube. Mm. And so it kind of talks about, it talks about going like the trunk of the tree is what your main topics are, like what you are. And so then you got to kind of go branch off and go really branch off to like just the tip of it. So, and then like, you know, may have a leaf or whatnot. And so you kind of say like, okay, I want to, you know, show someone how to do a thruster. Okay. What are the most like, and then you can kind of like niche it down to, you know, this is how to master the thruster, doing this like one movement in the thruster, like kind of like niche it down to get more views and get more, you know, leads. And then it could lead to, you know, something else, like, you know, getting another client or whatever your goal is.
Right.
So, and the guy said you need to post about 5 episodes a week on those like very, very niche topics, like that you want to talk about.
Interesting.
Yeah. I'll send you the book. It's
yeah.
And I actually emailed him. I'm like, hey, I have a podcast. So how can I niche down even further to where I need to go with the 5 episodes? He's like, well, you need to do the things that other people are not talking about. And right. then niche it down to that. And then, like, you know, cut those clips into that. And I'm like, oh, okay. All right. So,
yeah.
So it's interesting. It's a good read.
The last time we chatted, you recommended Logic's book.
Yes.
I did listen to it.
Yeah.
That was, did you crazy. Like it? I recommend it to, I have a few buddies will always exchange audiobooks to each other. And it's, you know, random. You get a random text Wednesday at midnight and it's like, any book recommendations? And you'll shoot it over. And then, you know, I've got maybe like 4 or 5 people that I do that with. And I sent the Logic one and they were like, this is crazy.
Yeah. I was super crazy. I was on the beach reading and I was so tense the whole time. Like just like nervous from like all the stuff that went through his life and how he would not drink and how he would like not do any drugs. And he get like nervous breakdowns and anxiety because of pretty much his dad and his mom and stuff like that. And the shit he had to deal with, I'm like, oh my God, like I can't imagine living like this.
He also came out with a fiction book and my buddy listened to it and he said it was actually really good as well. Really interesting, random.
Is it a space theme? Because I think he likes outer space stuff.
I don't remember the theme of the book at all. He just had mentioned, he said, hey, when you told me about Logic's book, I accidentally downloaded the book you wrote, not the book about him. And now he listened to the book about him as well. And he's like, yeah, the other book, I do recommend it. It's fiction.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Lately I haven't been reading a lot of fiction books because it's just, I don't know. The last one I read was Toys by Robert Patterson.
Mm.
It's a really quick read and a really good book. It's like James Bond and Jason Bourne together.
Oh, gotcha.
So it was really interesting reading that. So I think I finished it in like 2 days.
Yeah.
So I was on like I was on a deployment or like training. And so like we had a lot of downtime. So I would just sit there and just read the whole time.
Yeah. I think the last fiction book I read was Gray Man. That was crazy.
I've never read that.
Yeah. I think it was supposed to be nonfiction. And then he came out and was like, no, I did never do any of these things.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. So next question.
Yeah.
Do you wear your weight belt over your shirt or under your shirt?
I don't usually wear a shirt.
Well, that's true. Mostly it means you're shirtless. So, okay. So it's no shirt.
If I'm wearing a shirt, it'll be over my shirt.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I like the shame belt myself. So, if I'm doing like a lift or something like with a t-shirt, I don't want to feel like, you know, tight or whatnot. So I don't know. That's just my preference.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only problem is that the weight belt stinks like really quick from all the sweat.
Really?
I'll
wear my weight belt for like 2.4 seconds and it's been used, I don't know, 15 times. It's like brand new still.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, it's not on often.
Okay. So next question. So let's just say it's your last day on Earth, and how do you want people to know you as?
This is not a rapid fire question.
Yeah, I know.
Oh man. I hope I made people laugh and push themselves to do more than they thought they could.
All right.
I think that's at least those two things. That would be awesome.
Yeah. I wish I went back to hear what you said the first time, because I would have told it to you. I think it's probably the same thing, close enough to it.
Yeah. I wonder what I said last time.
We'll figure it out. But so, all right, last question. So where can people reach out to you if they want to get involved with like content creation, like memes or whatever? So where can people reach out to you?
Yeah. On Instagram @memeforTime. And then be sure to follow on YouTube to go check out episode one of Brett Polsner's Day in the Life with special guest CrossFit Games athlete on at Mean for Time on YouTube as well.
Awesome. Dude, thank you for coming on again. I appreciate it.
Of course, man. Thank you so much for having me. I really do appreciate it. It's nice to get one podcast down day one and share people the vision for 2024.
Yeah, definitely.